This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Cool. Well, I love our city. I love Fairbanks. I love Alaska. I love Alaskans. I love what we're doing. I want to invite you guys. Next week, we're starting our identity series about biblical self-awareness, and we're going to really go for it. If you want to get to the core of all issues, you dig down into identity, you're going to find it. And so next week, we're going to go for it. A lot of prayer around this. So real excited about what we're going to start next week. Rodney, you want to come up here and introduce our speaker tonight?
Praise God. You know, I just asked Stan, could I introduce Michelle? You know, I've been working with her for 8 years, and I've had the opportunity to just watch her grow. In this 8 years, you know, she came to the rescue mission just fully qualified, fully capable, but fully broken. And just like all of us, you know, all of us come to the rescue mission. We feel we have so much to give. And then at the end of the week, we feel like we cheated God because we received so much. And I've watched her. She's a very articulate individual, and you're going to see that. But when I really learned who she was when she started articulating the trauma and the hurts from her past. And you guys heard me say before, for someone that can communicate pain and trauma without sounding like a victim is a hero of mine. And Michelle's a hero of mine. You know, I work really closely with her. You know, she, when I'm gone, she's the one that does my job. And when I'm there, she tells me how to do my job. But she's an amazing lady, and I want you to give her a round of applause.
Well, you know, I've been out of town for a while, and I haven't been able to be here. And I got to tell you, it just feels so good. It feels so good to be here. You know, I feel safe in this place, and I feel like it's okay for me to be really honest. At least I hope it is, because I'm going to be real honest tonight. Somewhere in here, I'm going to ask you to dialogue with me a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question, and it'll really help the discussion and my anxiety if you would dialogue and answer me. So I'll let you know when that is. You know, a while ago, Stan talked to me about maybe speaking again, and he said, you know, just talk about what makes one person persevere in recovery and another not. And I thought that was really funny, because that's really huge. If I had that answer, I would be way smarter than I am. And you know, so many people have thought about it and talked about it and written about it, and it's a mystery. But I do know what recovery is for me. I know that recovery for me isn't accomplished through my willpower. It's not accomplished through my strength of character. The one thing that I think has been most essential in my recovery is truth. You know, it's truth that brings life and light. If you've done recovery, done the 12 steps, then you know about being honest with yourself, about not being in denial. You know about your defects of character and your shortcomings. But I think you can do the 12 steps and you can admit your faults, but still not grip, what was the song saying? What a great grace we stand in. We can do the 12 steps and not really understand how personal God's love and forgiveness is. It's so personal. But, boy, we're good at being in denial. We are so skilled at fooling ourselves. I have found that the truth really isn't all that easy to discern sometimes. There are things that I believed in the past that I have realized are not true. And here's where the question comes. What about you? What did you used to know for sure that you now know wasn't true? What was your reality? And I'll give you an example. I was married for several years to a man who struggled with alcoholism, many years. And I believed with my whole heart that if he would just quit drinking, everything would be okay. That I would be all right if he would just quit drinking. But what I have come to know is that my not being all right wasn't his issue. It was mine. So what about you? I want some feedback from you. What did you used to believe that you now know is not true? I'm going to start calling on you on names if you don't talk.
That I couldn't trust anyone.
Okay. And what you know now?
That people are trustworthy. I have to believe in God to protect me.
Amen. Amen.
That I deserved it.
That you?
Deserved it.
Whatever was happening to you? Mm-hmm. What do you think you deserve now?
I deserve better.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, we deserve better.
I was a bad person.
And you believe?
I believe that I'm his person.
There you go. It's hard to say the positive sometimes, isn't it? I saw a hand over here.
I used to believe I couldn't be socially accepted without drugs.
There you go. Yeah. Stan.
I was loved when I felt loved.
Ah. That's a good one. I like that. Okay, well, those are really great examples of how our truth really is progressive. One of the lies that has been really powerful in my life is that if I could, and I will, just perform better, then God will love me. Somebody will love me. You know, how many of us have been stuck in that one? So we know we need to know the truth. And that we're walking towards truth. So I just want your minds to be open tonight to expanded truth. You know, we walk into truth more and more. And more we walk into truth, the more and more we walk into recovery. And so what I'm going to do tonight, I'm just going to take you on a revelation of truth to me journey. You know, it's personal. My daily Bible reading a while ago was Psalm 63-65, and God just talked to me through those psalms. And I really like the psalms that David wrote because he could go from despair to joy, from hate to love, from crying out to God to kill his enemies to talking to God about how God loved him. You know, David really wasn't a steady Eddie, and neither am I. It's really cool to me that God put David in the Bible with all of his ups and downs and all of the emotion that he has. It's comforting to me. So here's what Psalm 63:1 says. It says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." And so that morning, as I read that, you know, I knew God is my God. I knew that. You know, but still, sometimes my heart is thirsty and longing. And I wonder, do I really earnestly seek God with my whole heart? I wonder if you, like me, have had questions about that. So many questions. Is God real in my heart? Can his love really make a difference in my life? God doesn't have any skin. How can he meet my need in the here and now? And in the middle of the night, when all of my thoughts are dark and anxious, will the light of God penetrate? And I think for some people, can his love reach us when our life is a flat plane and there's just shadow people out there and nobody can touch us? Or we know he cares for us passionately. He says he does. But we're not so sure about passion because we don't feel passionate about anything in our life. And in the middle of my need, when I feel I will suffocate or that I am falling into the dark, can God reach in and save me? I feel like I just let you see into my darkness. You know, if we're not so sure about God, and if he's really there for our longing, we sure know about the dry and parched land. One translation says, we long for God in a dry and weary land where there's no water. And some days it feels like a dry and weary land, doesn't it? That we're running, but we can't run quite fast enough. We can't get enough love, and we can't parent well enough, and our temper just seems to fly up out of nowhere. You know, maybe we've been in recovery for a while, and we know part of what we should be doing and part of who we should be. But even knowing, I mean, now that we know, doesn't seem to fix things. So in the middle of that, in the middle of those questions, that fear, that anxiety, my challenge, our challenge, is to find God in the midst. To believe that God has an answer for me when I feel like I'm running out of options. That my longing for love and security and safety, as ancient as it is, can be met. And that my mistrust, which is equally long-lived, can be set aside long enough for me to enjoy God's embrace, that the truth waits for me. And when I'm struggling to find my peace and to find God, remembering helps. And I was reminded that morning while I read the Psalms, because David goes on after verse 1 to say, God, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. So it's in that dark place that I remember that, yes, God touched me. I remember that I have been in his presence and overwhelmed to tears. I remember how he came and took me out of my unbelief. I remember how he spoke to me and how coincidences just fell together so that I knew it had to be him. You know, God took my baby girl's nightmares away. He gave me a whole new profession when I longed to do something else, but I didn't have the education for it. God loved me through a divorce, and amazingly let me love again. And when I was in a place that was really bereft, I'd lost my church, my job, my social life, God gave me a ministry and beautiful people to minister with. So when I'm in that dark place, remembering really helps. And maybe you can relate to that darkness that, boy, it's just like a pit. It really is. Maybe you can relate to that, or maybe you can't. But I can tell you what I know about my own fear and darkness is that sometimes it's an attack. It's like I can feel the hounds of hell. I can feel their hot breath on me. I can feel their teeth at my ankles. You know what? So did David. In Psalm 64, he says, listen to my concerns, God, and protect me from my terrible enemies. Keep me safe from secret plots of corrupt and evil gangs. Their words cut like swords, and their cruel remarks sting like sharp arrows. They fearlessly ambush and shoot innocent people. And haven't we felt that? Sometimes in the natural, sometimes it's our fellow human beings, but sometimes in the spiritual, it's just an attack. Words like swords and arrows, lies from the enemy, You're stupid to risk longing for love. You'll never be loved. Never be loved. You'll never be good enough. It's lies. It's lies. It's lies. You hear that sometimes too? It's not the truth. But again, David realizes God in the midst, and he says, but God will shoot his arrows and quickly wound them. They will be destroyed by their own words. See, God is our protector. Are there enemies in your life? Corrupt and evil gangs? Are there liars that whisper in your ear? Does despair, depression, or hopelessness threaten to overwhelm? You know, God can deal with that. And I thought about saying that, and I thought, yeah, they're going to think I'm some church lady up there with an easy answer. But I know the enemy and his cruelty are real. But so is God's power. God's power is real. And I know that because I fight through to believing God and his word and his power and his love. You know, God so made us to be in relationship with each other. I really believe, as I was writing this, I believe that our relationships, our love for each other is sacred to God. We're created for each other. But you know, we're meant to learn young that the world is a safe place and that our needs will be met. But a whole lot of us didn't get to learn that as children. So horizontally, we help each other along the way, and vertically, we find safety and unconditional love in God. I just loved how everything previous, the songs, the messages were about God is our answer. I just love that. You know, and sometimes the fight is declaring his truth over and over to myself. And sometimes the fight is just letting the flood roll over me and listening in the quiet for God. And sometimes God declares his truth to me through other people, through his word, through music, through spring leaves, through the beauty of his world. And that dry and weary land, your life, which sometimes you're afraid isn't ever going to get started, or you're never going to regain, or you can't get back. What does God do with that? And so we move to Psalm 65. It's a little bit long, but I just couldn't leave any of it out because I just wanted you to hear the extravagance of God. This is what God does with dry, parched land. God, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. That's who our God is. That's how he wants to give to us. We're in a dry and parched land. He wants to fill the streams with his water. He won't leave us in the desert. So over and over again, just like David, I cry out. And over again, God answers. Part of Psalm 63 says, he hides me in the shadow of his wings, and I can sing there. I cling to him, and his right hand upholds me. Those who want to hurt me, kill me even, will be destroyed. And just as surely as he meets David, and just as surely as he has met me, he will meet you. Are you getting this? that God is available to us in the hard places. And he's not, you know, he's not only just available, but he's eager, longing to bring comfort, bring peace. You know, he's just waiting for us to quit running. So get that. Get that God is there for us in the hard places. When we don't have our faith perfectly in order and it's not looking pretty, God is there. Two more things. Make sure you know that it's not following the rules. It's not doing well. It's not the success or effectiveness of your ministry. None of that is your salvation or your recovery or your way to God. Paul was really clear to the Galatians about that. He called them crazy. He said, "You crazy Galatians." And basically what he said, "You started in faith, but now you think you're going to complete it in works. For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it?" So make sure you know that, you crazy Fairbanksons. You know, if you think you can be good or righteous or deserving of God's love on your own, you know, it's just all him. Start to finish, it's his love. That's such a relief to me. That's just such a relief. And then the third thing that I want to make sure you get tonight is that God is not far off. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as oil, as water, as fire. And John 7:37 says, Jesus took his stand and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, if anyone's in a dry and weary land, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says." And then in parentheses after it says, and Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God here. God is here. He's not far away. He's not distant. He's here. You know, mornings are hard for me. I don't really know why, but it's in the mornings that hopelessness can sometimes overwhelm me. I've started lots of days in tears. But one morning not too long ago, God gave me my very own psalm. He broke through with the truth. And this is what God said to me. And it's really precious to me, but I think it's for you too. I know it's for you too. And I just ask you to receive this as the truth about you and God and what he wants for you. This is what I journaled. The God of the universe loves me with an unyielding, unchanging love. He will never leave me. He will never manipulate me. I am safe in his love. He hopes for me, and he creates space for me. He's created a wide open space, beautiful, difficult, and free. It's there in front of me, full of reward and sweetness. It's God who calls me, who even entreats me, to leave the small safety I try to wrest from people. To leave the small safety of being hidden. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. And this today, this getting to come and speak to you, share with you from my heart, it's a part of that wide open space. It's beautiful, it's difficult, and it's free. So this is my truth. That God will come to me when I am dry enough to blow away. He'll come to me and he'll water me and he'll restore me. Remember how we said that truth is progressive? That more and more we see the truth And more we walk in recovery. This is the truth I want you to grasp tonight. God is so real. He's so real. He's not an idea. He's real. And he's able to reach out and comfort us and restore us. So I just want you to rest right where you are tonight. Just let the Holy Spirit come and minister rest to you. Is your soul parched and weary? Let the water of the Holy Spirit just wash over you and through you. God loves you. Receive that. God loves you. God, come and fill our emptiness, our yearning, our needs. God, you're the lover of our souls. You gave everything to be next to us, to be in relationship with us. Oh, Holy Spirit, wash away the loneliness, the hurt of the past. Lord, I just pray over this people right now that you would establish in them that they are your beloved children. And I pray the security of the Father's love over you. So come, Holy Spirit, come impart your truth. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you while we wait on you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We drink you in. We thank you that you are a stream bed running full of water for us. Thank you that you are a good, good Father to us.
Searching for answers, only you provide. hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love.
Thank you, Michelle.